all you cool cats and space cowboys. It's time for Cosmic Tea with your host, Avalon Starlight.
All right, everybody. I have a super, super, super special treat today on the Cosmic Tea podcast. This is a human who came into my life kind of like off like a beaten path, kind of in a roundabout way through a connection that we share. And it has been the most magical experience I have ever had in my life. It's like when you meet a sister from another mister and you're like, yeah, oh my God, could there be more things that are aligned and attuned and like complementary between two humans? You wouldn't find them. Like, and I'm so excited because we actually do very similar things, but yet so different on the spectrum. Where I work in the emotional body, my guest today works with a very specific model that also shares exactly who you are. So I'm excited because I think this interview is going to be like this like combination catalytic experience for you guys. And I cannot wait to hear your takeaways from today's episode. But please welcome Charlene to the podcast. And how do I say your last name on the little Zoom guy here?
Froats.
Froats.
Like yes. Froats
with fro in front, like FR. Ooh,
exactly. Yeah.
That's easy enough. Charlene Froats is in the house.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you? I'm really excited to share your potency with the world today.
Well, thank you. It's so good to be here. I just want to say, like, you're so articulate and just so good at this. And the introductions and the welcomes just roll right off your tongue. And it's so wonderful to watch you in that capacity. I'm happy to be here with you.
Thank you. I just think these are my favorite humans and I want to share all their magic. And I want everybody to feel like that vibrational energy of how much yeah. love that I have. Like, and I mean, we haven't actually known each other that long.
No, like maybe a couple of months, maybe.
Yeah. And I mean, when the reason we connected was because Charlene has a super superpower. So I just want you to explain a little bit about what your superpower is, or what I call stardust, which is your ability to, you know, understand people's design. And this is where I'm not going to be very great at introducing. So if you could just share a little bit about what you do. So then I can't wait to take this conversation where it needs to go.
For sure. So, I mean, it's kind of funny because as you said that, I was like, oh, well, what is my superpower? How would I explain that? So what would I say is that I love helping entrepreneurs basically understand the quantum field, like how to create their reality. And some of my favorite tools for doing that, well, let me say this first, that I think the most important thing in order to be able to do that is to be able to understand ourselves deeply, and not just understand, but really revere and love and appreciate ourselves, see our divinity so that we understand. And, you know, I think you say it like as stardust, so that we kind of go, oh my God, I really am amazing. I get to do amazing things. And then we get to go out and create really cool, amazing things in the world. And the tools that I really love to do that with, and that I think create a lot of understanding and common language and ability to make sense of this incredible, magnificent, awe-inspiring world, are the tools of human design and the gene keys. And so, on one perspective, I like to think about human design as sort of an instruction manual to us, right? And these aren't required things. I mean, there are many, many millions and billions of humans on the planet who have gone through life figuring things out and come to really phenomenal results and awarenesses on their own. But these tools can be really helpful, you know, maybe when we feel stuck or not aware or unclear about things, that they really open things up. So like you get the instruction manual to yourself, right, through human design, how I work, what my gifts are, how I'm best suited to navigate the world. And then I like to look at the gene keys as a little bit of like a map. So like, oh, this is the journey that I set out for myself. Oh, this is why this is happening. This is why I do this. This is why this happened in this sequence. It's like our personal map or navigation tool to our own hero's journey, like so that our lives actually make sense, so that we know that we're on track and how to utilize these things to our best advantage. So that's what I love to do. And in a nutshell, I just help entrepreneurs create a ton of magic in a way that's perfectly unique and suited to them.
Yeah, superpower.
So that's what it is.
So for those that are listening, because I know that some people will have absolutely heard of human design and gene keys, and some people will be like, you just spoke a foreign language, like the peanuts person at the beginning of a classroom, you know? Like a little overview about what these two things, because they're so similar, right? Didn't they start from a very similar place and then they're separate? Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, sort of like the modern version or the modern evolution of some very ancient wisdom. So like the I Ching and the Kabbalah, right? So like these ancient wisdoms, astrology, chakra systems. So that's sort of like all of those. Yeah. Chakra. Like, so there's a lot of
chakra in the house.
And you just go straight, you know, like you read this stuff directly. And so, you know, for me, it's made sense through these systems and explanations. And so these very ancient systems, these wisdom systems, you know, as we're learning and evolving, you know, then we get new things like epigenetics, right? And quantum mechanics. So as we're like starting to understand these things, like more the physical interface of spirit, like this is sort of the evolution of these systems, right? And so human design was downloaded or received by someone by the name of Ra Uruhu. Now, I couldn't tell you what his original human name was, but that's the name he ended up going by. And it was this download to really explain this interface, right? That the human being is originally a seven chakra being. And according to human design, in the 1700s, we split into a nine-centered being. So our solar plexus and our heart, those two centers split. Like this is part of the evolutionary process. It's our energetic evolution. And so in the future, we're also like right now, why emotions are such a big deal and why, thank goodness, there are people like you doing this work is because that's our stage of evolution where we're integrating these emotions. And then there's going to be a particular aspect. Our spleen, like the survival-based spleen, is going to be reintegrated and emotion is going to come more to the forefront of creation. So that's kind of like the energetic evolution that's coming. We're like on the cusp of this, like within the next couple of years of this evolution really starting to take place. So human design like explains, right? So like that was the thing that was downloaded first. And then Richard Rudd had the download and the expansion of the gene keys, which takes this system also, but then places it more in a reference point of your path. So how I like to explain these things are like with the ancient wisdom and how our universe works, right? There is a way that spirit becomes form, right? And this it's incredible and awe-inspiring, but it's not a mystery. Like there is a way that spirit actually becomes incarnated. And our universe, our planets, is like, you know, that child's toy, like we probably all had one or our kids had one it's like the shape of a globe and it's got holes in it, right? Like different shaped holes and blocks, like triangle blocks fit in this hole, square blocks fit in this hole and that kind of thing. So our universe is like that toy. So it's when it's in a certain configuration, only certain shapes can fit through certain things. So if we had a shape in our hand and we didn't know what shape that was, but somebody told us what hole it came through, we'd go, oh, therefore it's a green triangle because that green triangle can only come through that hole. Mm-hmm. So whomever figured out the configurations and how they correlate to characteristics, I don't know. But it's really essentially like a soul, a particularly shaped soul, a characteristic, the characteristics of the soul can only come through very specific portals. And so then when we know our birth data, like the time and the place that we were born, we know exactly what portal we came through. So therefore, what shape or characteristics our soul must hold as it's incarnated in this time.
I just love that. There's like two things that have come through while you're talking. One is like, for all my people who channel information, please listen to these words very, very closely and profoundly. Like what you're experiencing, what you're receiving is like it's potent medicine, and don't be afraid to share if you're a channel, like deep insights and deep, you know, medicine that comes through you. Cause I think sometimes people get like a little bit weirded out. Like, where did this come from? How am I supposed to use this kind of stuff? And I'm not sure if you channel, but I've channeled a few times and I'm always like, where do you go to tell people? You know? Yeah. So I just want to share that with the listeners. And the second thing is like, I gotta be honest, Charlene. Human design is like going to university to me. Like, it is this study. It's not like something that you just pick up and you like are like, yes, let me just open this chapter book to chapter 3, which is my human design, and understand it completely. Yeah. Right. So like, what was it about it that like made you open up this textbook and this university style? And because it's always shifting, it's changing. There's so many different parts and pieces to it. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Great question. So I was first introduced to human design, I want to say about 6 or 7 years ago, when I was very first starting to shift out of what I would say is a more masculine version of business. And I kept hitting this kind of wall. And I think I may have told you this story, but I was just like, the business coaching that I was receiving just wasn't like, it was like, keep doing the same thing that I told you to do 6 times that isn't working, right? So it just wasn't really working for me. And I'm like, something is missing here, right? It's not like recognizing who I am at an individual level. And I came out of a yoga class and meditation one day, and I had this ping, spiritual business coach. And that did not exist. That did not exist just a few years ago. And so I don't know, what the heck is that? So I went home and Googled this, and one result came up. And this woman, her name was Christy Nix. And so I like reached out to her, and her whole intake process, like, she used human design. At that point, and people may still find this, the original version of human design that was brought through by Ra has very shocking language. And he will say, like, it was intended to do that. It was sort of like the slap to wake people up out of their shadow patterns and complacency and things like that. But it has really kind of blunt, unflattering language. So while there were some things that resonated with me, I was kind of like, yeah, it's not real nice. Like, I don't like those characteristics and that kind of thing. So that was my introduction. I knew about it. And then as I went through this really deep awakening and massive unraveling over the next, you know, a few years, cut to, that's where, you know, because they're so related, I started hearing more about the gene keys, and I was interested in that. And before I closed my gym and really embarked on this pathway of devotion to my design, right, rather than strategic mental processes getting me to where I wanted to go, I was really falling in love with the gene keys and thinking, oh man, if I could just, you know, if I just had a couple months to just really dive into this, like, that was my highest excitement. I was like, ooh, this sounds amazing. And so I was all in on the gene keys. And then it was through the gene keys that I came back around to human design, and the language had been elevated in the meantime. Like, I would suggest people, like, I really love Karen Curry Parker because she's doing something called quantum human design. So she's really upgrading the language. So I came back around to that, and then I really started to see how they worked really well together. And I was just completely in love with this. But to speak to exactly what you're saying, so I'm like, I got to tell everybody about this. We got to do this. And so then as I started working with my clients on this, then I would see like the saucer eyes and just like, what am I looking at here? Right. And so in my, and it made perfect sense to me. It was like, oh, finally an explanation for everything that's going on. But then as I shared it, it was like googly eyes for people. So just that awareness of, oh, this is really overwhelming. Let's maybe drip this out. Like, let's maybe just talk about the things that are like really important and critical in the beginning, just to gradually help people get very familiar with the idea that they are completely unique souls with very specific ways of functioning that is actually perfect. Right. So absolutely, it's overwhelming. And it definitely doesn't mean, because I've had clients ask me this too. It's like, so now do I need to know human design? Do I need to teach this? No, absolutely not. It's just the modality that makes sense to me, that helps me show you your divinity. And then you go do your magic with that.
Right. But the real question is, how many like hours have you studied and like read books about it? Because like, I'm like, because I mean, it's a thing. Like, you you have studied this, and I know you have, because I've had your magic. Like, you've shared my like vision of me, or my version of me, through your lens, and it was like profound and amazing. But I'm like, you don't just like open a book and know that. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I could say like I've done hundreds of hours of energy readings to read energy, right? Like, I'm like equivalently, I'm like, Charlene done hundreds of hours of reading human design and studying and gene.
Yeah. Hundreds, thousands. I mean, it's like honestly been, I would say, my primary interest over the last 4 years.
That is just so fascinating. I always think you truly know people by what they're reading when they're not.
Well, I should show you the stack of books that I've got right beside me. I'll just lift this up. So I'll show you the stack of books. That is my reference stack of books right beside me. Yes. So that's within arm's reach. So yeah, definitely.
It's so fun. So you did kind of touch on it, and I just kind of like to give people some backstory to like what even made you want to work with entrepreneurs, because you and I actually shared. So one of the reasons why our mutual friend kind of was like, oh, you guys should be friends, was because and it's been really interesting. I just have to say this. Like even today, right before we jumped on call, there's just another synchronicity that happens. Like every time Charlene and I come to conversation, there's some point during the conversation that one of us goes like, okay, at this point, it's not even funny. Like, it's not coincidence where we share a life path, or we share a similarity, or we share husbands who have the same jobs, which is what we learned today. And like, it's just kind of been this like really potent cocktail of energy. But one of the things that we share is that we came from fitness before we moved into the industry of helping entrepreneurs. And so I would love to hear what that transition looked like for you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. So yeah, my background was all health and fitness. Like, that's what my degree is in. So what was that degree called?
Physiology.
Physical activity studies with a specialty in fitness and lifestyle. And then, so I mean, back in those days, there were no jobs that you came into. So you kind of had to carve your own field there. So I ended up working in rehab, like physical rehab, for a long time. And that was kind of my first indication introduction to just witnessing, like, it was a cleanup crew, right? Rehab is cleanup. So you're after the fact. And then just watching like, oh, well, I can see all of these choices that led you to this. And how about we address those choices at the beginning, right? And so just the awareness of, oh, I'd much prefer to work proactively and preventatively. And so I opened up my own fitness business. And so really, I think there's a lot of similarities. Like, business is a system, like the human body is a system, right? Financial health is very similar to physical health, right? And so there's a lot of crossover in these things. And so, and I was very drawn to entrepreneurship. I've got a strong history of that in my family. I don't like being told what to do. So I started that pretty early on, and, you know, went into business as a solopreneur, and then was very drawn to having a facility because I was really interested in CrossFit. That's what was really lighting me up. So I started a CrossFit facility and then transitioned that into my own branded facility. And just in working with like thousands and thousands of people, just seeing the bigger picture and the deeper and deeper and deeper layers of, like, our physical body is just a billboard of everything we feel, think, and believe. Right. And so then, you know, I mean, I could tell you to eat more vegetables, or I could tell you to address, you know, the grief that you have over losing your husband. Right. You know, like, that, it was that kind of thing, like just seeing like, oh, there's something deeper going on that's creating these results, but having created an environment where people were only expecting to talk about vegetables and squats, right? They weren't like prepared to have like a spiritual or energetic conversation. And so as that side of myself was growing, there was more of a dissonance there. And I'd started coaching other fitness business owners. Like, I was getting really passionate about that. I was invited by the company that I was a client of as a fitness business owner. Like, I was receiving coaching, and then I was invited by them to be part of the team and coach other business owners. And that lit me right up. And that's actually the start of my unraveling. Because I got really, like, it was like a new passion was born, or a new elevation was born. And I just I couldn't reconcile. Like, I thought I was going to do this for my whole life, and now I want to do this. Like, what's going on? And I actually, like in a lot of reflection, really look at the point at which I gave up my coaching position. Like, because then the business started to unravel as my intention and energy was going in a different direction. And instead of taking that as a cue and letting go and releasing what was ready to leave, I let go of my passion to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge lesson for me, because I didn't understand how to let go of things and how to evolve. Like, I'd never encountered that before, right? Because I've been so successful, like award winning and like all kinds of stuff. So I didn't know that you're allowed to evolve, right? And that's a manifesting generator, right? And I didn't understand this because I was raised by people with totally different designs, people who were designed to go deep and long. And that's not how I'm designed. So I had so much conditioning around, you got to stay with it, you're being flaky, like all these people are depending on you, like on and on and on and on. So I didn't follow my passion, which is when things started to unravel for me. And then I was able to come full circle and say, like, no, this is just my heart and my passion is in helping entrepreneurs build and create things.
So from the point that you were doing that, right? Like, just because I love timings kind of thing, you're coaching other business, fitness business owners, and you feel that passion, and then you get sucked back into, you know, our perpetuated patterns and programs from our childhood and what our parents have taught us and all that kind of stuff, to coming back around to letting go of the fitness facility. How long was that journey?
Oh, okay. So from the moment that I let go of my coaching to then closing my business, 2 years for sure, possibly even closer to three.
And I just think that this is an important conversation to have, because it's so interesting when we're just telling a story that it can seem like it would be a blink of an eye, like, you know what I mean? But in reality, the human experience is kind of a lot slower.
And
and you know, we do our own processes and our own healings, and we have to come to our own revelations. So for those of you listening, I just wanted you to hear the time span that sometimes it can take, especially at the beginning of our journeys, right? I always say success is like when we can speed up that process. So it might have taken Charlene 3 years, and then the next time she was faced with something, like a half, and then maybe a few months, and then like a week. You know what I mean? That's the pivotal journey here.
Totally. But
can I ask you a random question?
Okay.
Were you like into health and fitness when you were growing up, or was that just like, I don't know what I want to take in school, so I'm just going to take like this program kind of thing? Because I'm always curious, because I just want to know what made you kind of gear into something that wasn't very popular in that time.
Yeah, well, and that I think was part of why it was so mystifying, because it was so aligned with me initially. So when I was leaving high school and like doing all of the aptitude testing and all of, I was an athlete the whole time, like all the school sports. Softball was my big sport. I was a pitcher. And so, I played on like elite teams, traveling teams and that kind of thing. But never correlated my athleticism with my career path ever. Cause I mean, that really didn't exist. And so all of my aptitude testing was, which is now funny, was all in communications. So I actually started in journalism and communications. So I had a scholarship to go play softball in a college in the States. And I was from small town Saskatchewan, Canada. And so I left to go do that, and thinking, you know, I was playing softball and volleyball. And then I was going to take journalism and communications at this like semi-prestigious school, and thinking that that was my whole path. And then what happened while I was there, which turned into a very short stint of being there and before I came home, was there was an athletic therapy program. So while I'm in the gym practicing, you know, this crew of athletic therapists would walk by, and I'm like, what are they doing? What's going on here? And so I found out about athletic therapy, and I'm like, you can have a career in athletics? Like, what's going on? So I'd never heard of it before. And so when I came home, I looked into similar types of programs and found that in the university that was close to my hometown. And that's when I went into that path. So then I was like able to study what I was fascinated by. Like my aptitude is in journalism and communications, but I was fascinated by the body and athleticism. And so now, like, why I say that's ironic is because one of my specialties is in marketing and communications at this point. So it's all kind of like finally merged together.
I love that. So I'm going to ask this question because I also think it's a very valid one for the listeners to hear is, you know, you have now, you know, come out of a very, you know, athletic high school, right? Like you go to school, you get your degree, you open a gym. I'm going to guess that your parents are not very spiritually inclined by nature. I don't know yet. I'm going to let you answer the question. Yeah. And then you turn around and you start doing something like human design and gene keys. Right. What has been the response to you kind of selling something that was known and familiar and, yeah, you know, everybody probably saw as like, just the perfect thing for you to stepping right into something. So could be considered left wing, right wing, whatever.
Yeah. That was honestly, so I mean, to give context, both my parents have passed. So I mean that there's that, but like in terms of the culture and where I came from, cause I lived in the town that I was born in until last year. So there's very much like who people believe you are and how you've grown up in the circles that like that very much, right? Whether it's my immediate family or like community, right? So that was definitely a big, like I was raised Catholic. So my parents were, my dad was a converted Catholic, like became Catholic while married to my mom. She had a very deep, deep faith, but I was looking for another word there, but very committed to her faith. And I had spiritual interests from very early on. Like in reflection and a lot of things that I've done, like I used to see spirits when I was young, right? And that was like, no, you're imagining things, right? You know, that type of thing. I got interested in the occult and Ouija boards, which was like to a Catholic mother, right? Like you don't do that. And then I remember picking up the Celestine Prophecy when I was 19 and talking to my parents about this, right? And they were kind of like, yeah, you know, like just not really interested in it. Their path and their level of understanding the world was through Catholicism, right? And the Bible. So a lot of my ideas didn't really jive with their perception and how they saw the world and how the world worked, right? And it was really interesting that not long after my mom passed, my dad started to read. That was when Eckhart Tolle was big. And so he was reading The Power of Now, and he starts getting really tapped into this and then telling me about how when he was young, he had out-of-body experiences, and he was getting very into this and was like meditating and sending energy. And then he kind of opened himself up to some things that startled him. And then he met a woman that he married who was also a Catholic, and he swung right back into that. But he was very, very open. Like I think who he was at his base was very open to that. But I think a part of who he was so like devoted to his partnerships that he was willing to, you know, just kind of come back around to that. So side story, that was the environment that I was raised in. My mom was a teacher, so I also went to a Catholic high school. So I really got to know and be very close into that community. A lot of those people were my clients at the gym, right? So that's, you know, that was the environment that I was in. So when I started having these visions of like having been on the planet for millennia and gridding the planet, you know, the ley lines, I was like, what do I do with this information to everybody who speaks in terms of Catholicism and God and, you know, that kind of thing and their understanding of this entity that's outside of ourselves? And so that was really challenging. That was a big shift. And that's a big part of why I felt like I had to close everything down and move away. Like it was a total rebirth,
Charlene, where did you move to?
So I moved from small town on the prairie, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, about 36,000 people to, we're in Nanaimo, BC, which is on Vancouver Island. So for those who are not so geographically inclined, that was a two province jump. and over a ferry.
I only giggle because that's when I decided to move away from Ontario, you know, almost 3 years ago. I also went to Vancouver Island. So I'm just sharing another like way that your life and my life has overlapped, or it's like, okay, because that was a fresh start. It was a new beginning. I was leaving behind. And I think this is an important thing to talk about, because sometimes we cannot do our full healing in the places and spaces where the experiences or our family of origin or our communities or things like that exist, because we're going to be faced with the same, you know, recurring patterns over and over and over again. And so let me ask you this, what has been that experience for you to kind of like be somewhere? Because small town, like if you're not aware of Canadian small towns in the north, what was your population of your city?
36,000.
36,000. It's a very small community, right? So like you've now moved to this place where you do not know anyone. Nobody knows who Charlene is. Like, what has that experience been like?
Oh my gosh. I think that's really an important question and an important point, because like, I think in the highest version, right? And if I was ready to walk on water, then it wouldn't matter to me what people thought or what people believed or any of that. You just make your change, right? And ta-da, here I am. This is who I am now. But I was finding it really challenging to even like I had neighbors across the street from me who had been clients at my gym. And, you know, I'd go down to the store. Like it was really hard for me. I was finding it challenging to be running into people who believed they knew who I was and was interacting with me based on who they thought I was, you know. And I think that's where people just kind of get stuck. Like, well, this is easy. Let's keep interacting like this. But I knew that like I was becoming something so different that I found it too hard to be around reminder, 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 reminder. So I just really wanted the absence of the reminders, not that any of these were bad people,
right?
The absence of reminders so that I could totally intentionally form this new version of myself. And so I have loved it. I have absolutely loved it. I mean, my husband and my daughter are feeling a little bit like they miss back home, but like, I mean, I stayed in contact with the people, you know, who see me for who I am and not who I was and the role that I performed. So I've stayed in contact with them. The only people I miss are my family, and I have no urge at this point to be back there yet. And so this has been really wonderful and freeing and just like relaxing to the nervous system, because you're not like coming around a corner at a grocery store going, you know, I don't really want to run into that. I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to make nice. Like, I just want to be like anonymous, invisible, just do my thing without having to rehash and recycle these roles.
Listen, you are telling the right person. Because when I was who wore glasses my whole life, had LASIK surgery done on my eyes in June and moved across the country by August, right? So nobody knew me as the person with glasses. Within, you know, months of me being there, I changed my name from my birth name to a new name. Like I understand that feeling of no one like knowing any of the previous iterations of you, being able to step into the true authentic vibration of your soul, right? Without having any of these perceived expectations or beliefs that you were somebody else. So I think that that's just a really cool conversation. And it was interesting because I used to coach people. I'd coached a couple people to leave and, you know, go to Mexico and to, you know, do that same process. And so it was interesting when it came full circle for me to do it. And I was like, no, you would tell somebody else to do this, right? Because we get to choose. We get to align to who we are. And I don't think we're given permission enough to like live life to the fullest based on what we desire and what we want. And so my question for you is like, would you be able to see that in a chart? Somebody, like, is it in your chart that you would move? Like types of things, kind of things that you see in human design or gene keys?
I mean, my instinct is to say no. I mean, I would say that I haven't run into that yet. I think how would I answer that? that would become such an individual solution.
Right.
That it's not the act itself that's healing. It's the medicine that was required for that person at that time.
Got you. So when you are giving people the information about themselves through Gene Keys and Human Design, for those who are listening, being like, okay, well, if it's not, you can't see this kind of stuff. What is it that you shed light on or insight on in terms of helping people, you know, with their design or with their life path based on the information that's there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really good question. So I think one thing to understand about Human Design and the Gene Keys is that it's based on 64 archetypes, kind of like the highest qualities and expressions available to humans that we know of so far. And each of these archetypes has a range of expression from the shadow to the gift to the city. And city is SIDDHI, meaning like the divine expression of it. So most of us at best kind of reside in the gift area, and then we'll kind of touch on the Siddhic expression. That's when we really think about like ascended masters, right? That are living that full expression. And so, you know, we all have all of the chart within us. Like we're not like some people have these gifts and some people don't. It's sort of like where we all have access to a full playing deck of cards, but we get dealt certain hands or we emphasize certain cards or qualities or archetypes. Like we get, like maybe some of us have three aces and some of us have one, right? So there's sort of like a distribution like that. So that's where our strengths will come from. So this is a way to really understand our strengths and our highest expression. Because the vast majority of humanity, and this is what Ra's mission was with Human Design, is that the vast majority of humanity, even collectively, is living in the shadow expression of most of these gifts and these archetypes. And so what we'll do, we don't recognize that. We don't recognize that kind of the shit that we're living in is not our highest potential. Like we accept kind of the crap or the mediocre, but we don't actually realize that what's within our capacity and capability is divine expression. And so what we'll do is we'll loop around in patterns. Like the shadow expression will show up. There are two versions of our shadow expressions. One is repressive, which is we'll turn it inside against ourselves. And one is reactive, when it'll go outside, we'll project it outwards. And this is really interesting. Most outwardly projected shadows get put in jail, and most inwardly projected shadows get put on medication. But it's the same thing. It's like shadow violence either being turned at the self or against other people. Right. So this is also where, like, as a sidebar, like martyrdom, like when we're not treating ourselves very well, is as violent as treating other people unwell. It's the same shadow turned inward versus turned outward.
Yeah.
And so these charts will let us identify our highest potential to let us stretch into some really incredible things. And it'll also help us understand our shadow patterns so that we can go, oh, that's what's happening. This is how I can transform it. So there's like those individual gifts. And then we have like certain parts of our chart will connect, like based on which archetypes are active. Like if you imagine the chakra system, if there are certain parts of each of those chakras that are active or consistent within us, then some of those actually connect to create complete channels. And so those are our strongest gifts. So it's kind of like the thing that we can lean on or lean into.
So I kind of like this because I think we've been taught to focus on the negative, right? To see what isn't there. So like, oh, I'm not good at this. I don't, you know, do this well. And so we feed energy into, oh, that person's so good at this, but I can't do that. And so forth. So I love this conversation because it's almost like a shift of perspective. Like it's giving people the opportunity to go like, oh, of course I'm not good at this. This isn't even part of who I am, but this is what I'm good at.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Like you asked such great questions, because that was actually the key moment that everything changed for me. So this was amidst a week long plant medicine retreat. And so like I'd had the first couple of ceremonies were like the deep in the shit stuff. And then the last one, I had an insight, and it was, I want to be shown my divinity. Right? Because like the question, because it's literally asking the wrong question that for our whole lives, what's wrong with me? What do I need to fix? Why isn't this working? And I had the insight, oh, I've been asking the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I asked to be shown my divinity, which is kind of like the universe is just waiting for you to ask the right question, right? To then be shown, oh, this is what I'm capable of. Oh, this is what I'm meant to be doing. Oh, this is like, and you get shown all the reflections of how amazing and incredible you are, because love is what creates change. The most shocking experience in our lives, and shock always creates change. Shock is always a catalyst for change. But the most shocking experience in our lives is to come into the presence of the divine and to experience unconditional love. That's the most shocking catalyst for change. Not being corrected and told and getting feedback and having our butts kicked and, you know, all of that kind of thing that's sort of in the traditional system. It really is like, that's my philosophy, is that love is the greatest catalyst to change.
I love this. I actually had this conversation with my husband because I was in this practice the other day with him. Like, you know, when you are in relationship, you don't realize that it's your trauma and their trauma and you're working, right? Like we just become reflections and mirrors and projections of each other's trauma. And there came a point where I recognized that I was a projection of my family who were nitpickers and only seeing what somebody wasn't doing right. Right. And so I had the awareness and I was witnessing myself doing it. So when I was being triggered, I would attack my husband, right? And I was like, oh, I see this now. And I remember kind of in that same revelation kind of thought going like, what if I didn't do that? What if I actually started to tell Jeff about all the amazing things that he was doing and how like he was just such a positive impact in my life, and started to share from this like vibration of love. And it is just profoundly mind-blowing to witness the reflection of that coming back to you and not only for like, it feels really good. Like when they say what you give is what you receive, you start to really fully understand that, because it's like a little flower that was wilting, which was my husband, under my own like volatile vomit of like, you know, projection, he started to bloom, right? Like he started to see himself as like more capable, as strong, as mighty, as sexy, as all these things. And all it was me shifting from the language of lack to the language of love.
Yeah. That's so true. That's such a beautiful illustration. Beautiful illustration. And there is that like sort of fundamental truth and principle. And there is also a pattern of wounding that exists in our charts that will show us this. Would that be helpful for me to explain?
Yes, because I want to know. I hope everybody else listening.
Okay. Awesome. And this is where I think, you know, some of our work really crosses over, because I'll be totally honest that a lot of times, you know, it's so funny that of course we're connected, but there's a lot of times I found myself saying like, I am not really like the emotional helper, right? Like that's not my strength. And you can look at my chart and see this is clearly not her strength, right? And so I keep saying like, I'm so glad there are people who do this work and help facilitate other people through this work, which is you. So like, thank goodness, because I'm a little bit more like, this is where this exists. Now go off and do the work, right? So in our charts, in the gene keys, there are three kind of mini charts within it. So the outer part of the chart is like our genius, kind of like what goes out into the world, our primary theme, kind of like our primary role, which is our genius, our incarnation cross. And then there's another part, and that's called the activation sequence. There's another part, the biggest part of the chart is called the Venus sequence. And then there's a third part of the chart called the prosperity sequence or the pearl. So one is kind of like who we are out in the world. Second part, the Venus sequence, is like our heart. And then the third part is our prosperity and how we give our gifts in the world to create true abundance, right? Aligned abundance. And so how the three pieces work together is that when we're living in accordance with our highest gifts and our heart is fully open and healed, that's what allows us to give from a real place of purity and genuine service. And that's where our abundance comes from. And this is why, because we've all got such a unique pattern, this is why you can't give two people the same goal, like say, for example, 10K months, 20K months, or a particular type of business or style of business, like as a goal, because they're literally built differently. That might not be prosperity or lead somebody to prosperity, nor does the same method, right, lead people to the same place. It's, we have this unique combination lock that unlocks our prosperity for ourselves. And one of the biggest keys for this is our Venus sequence, which is all about our heart and all about how we relate to other people. And so there is, when you go through the Venus sequence, how Richard Rudd says this is unpicking the weave of the wound. So our chart shows us the story of how we were wounded, how we laid down armor. And when we heal it, we come back through it backwards and take, like, remove these layers a piece at a time. So when we're talking about the wounding, there are four elements to the wounding. And the first is the core wound. So that there is simply a wound that occurs at conception that we've all agreed to take on for humanity. And it's just sort of like the theme that underneath every time we're hurt, this is kind of where we keep coming back to. Because it's the theme that we agreed to transform for humanity. So there's that core wound. And then there's the wound that occurs between the age of 0 to 7. So there's a theme, there's an archetypal theme, a shadow theme. Plus there's a line note, a particular way we'll experience that theme. So like the first protection that we put over the most tender part of ourselves is in spiritual intelligence that's formed in age 0 to 7, because we're just sponges, right? We're completely open, taking in all of the programming. So we're completely unconscious at this stage. We don't even know that gets laid down. And then from the ages of 8 to 14 is when our emotional intelligence is being formed. So this is why a lot of people feel like teenagers that we're dealing with, erratic teenagers, because so many people get stuck in that stage of development, right? Where we're forming our emotional body. And there is a pattern of wounding that was designed to occur at that stage as well. So that's like the second layer of armor. And then the third layer of armor is in the age of 15 to 21, where our mental picture, where it's intellectual, the brain is forming. So this is where we're deciding how the world works. This is where our strongest beliefs come in about what's possible for us, because we decide this is how the world works. So therefore this is going to be the outcome, right? So that gets laid down. So in the spiritual sense, this is where we outline this pattern of wounding. And it was going to happen regardless of whether it came through our parents, whether it came from other family members, whether it came from our teachers, whether it came from our peers, whomever it was going to come through, it was going to come through. We chose those themes and that pattern of wounding. And there will be, like, so you, when it's laid down like that, the tender part, then protection over the spirit, protection over the emotions, then protection over the mind. So when we get triggered, it comes through those phases. So there's like level one defense, level two defense, then level three defense. And we'll go through that pattern every time we get triggered. So for example, my own triggering in level one, it's called the contemplative mind. So like the door shuts, shoo, right? Like I'm upset. So the door comes down and I retract. Right? That's, it's called the hidden mind. So there's also a gift in that. There's a gift and a shadow in all of this. So the gift in that is I'm deeply contemplative, deeply processing. I could live up on a mountain shack and just contemplate life all day long. Like that's, and the things that this type of person comes up with are magical. And when we're triggered, we go, we disappear. Right. Defense. Second layer of defense for me is meanness, right? But the gift is kindness. Right. Yeah, I know.
Like I was just talking about with my husband.
Yeah. So when I'm triggered, you know, if I've stayed behind, like the defense comes down and I get triggered, then I start to hatch plans about how I'm going to shoot you. Then I get mean. I'm going to be like, right? Yeah. That's my defense. But yeah. The flip side of that is like at the emotional level, like one of my greatest gifts is my kindness. Mm-hmm. But when I'm triggered and protective, I get mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the third level, like once we've gotten past me shooting people, is like the tender protection over my heart. And then that's where things like just all dissolve, right? Because that's what we're trying to protect. So as entrepreneurs, spiritually focused entrepreneurs who aren't just after the hustle and the achievement and the check boxes and the big bank balance, like we get to have that, but that's not what we're pursuing. We want to have this experience with an open heart and full of love and devotion with the people that we're interacting with. And all of the patterns of our relationships are going to show us this. So it doesn't matter how successful you are in your business. If you're running these goofy patterns in your relationship, it will affect your prosperity and what you can call in.
And this is what you've just decided to create for people to help them unlock, right? To untangle. Is this what your new program is about?
Yeah, it is. Because I begrudgingly, you know, and this is kind of like part of my design is waiting to have something to respond to. The fascinating thing that I've finally seen about this is, and this is like just trusting the process. This wasn't a grand master plan. After being with people for an extended period of time in my main program, I really think that you can only see these patterns after you're with people for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, see, so this is what's happening. And that's where it lives in your chart. Right. Mm-hmm. So now it's just time where my audience, the people who are with me, are ready to receive this information, because I couldn't have started with this. Mm. Right. Because you're only ready for it when you start to run into something being a problem. And then you're right. Like, oh, I think I probably need to solve this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because you had mentioned to me in one of our calls that, like, in order for us to receive that truest abundance, that highest form of prosperity, and we're not talking money here, we're talking like wealth as the vegetables you grow in the garden, and richness as the intimacy that you have with your partner, and like true prosperity in all avenues of your life. And it's interesting, because I truly believe this. I worked with somebody who really shined this light on me. The money is the last thing that falls in.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like you have to see that prosperity and that abundance and that wealth and that richness in everything that you're looking at in your life. And the money is like, then it has the freedom to express more fully. And mm-hmm. and we were talking about how these woundings we are so unconscious to them that mm-hmm. they really are the snag to our fullest like observation of the world as truly abundant. Yes. And so like, I'm excited because this is going to fall around probably close to, but I would get like on Charlene's lists, everybody to know, because Charlene's just in the flow of what the divine is like bringing into her awareness to share. And I don't know if this will come out right as your new program, because when's your new program start?
Well, we're having our first pre-call on the 31st of May, and then the first official like teaching will be June 7th.
Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure, but I would get into Charlene's sphere if you want to learn more about like what's going on, because the way that she presents it, if you're listening to this podcast, like already I'm like, I want more, I want more, I want more, you know, and if you're listening and you're like, oh my goodness, yes. Yes, I need to know. I want to know. This is the key, right? It is a gene key. It's called gene keys for a reason to my next expansion, my next up level. Where would they go to find your magic, your startup?
Well, thank you. I'm on the social medias. I'm on Facebook as Charlene Louise, which is my middle name. So Charlene Louise. I am on Instagram as the Awakened Entrepreneur, and there are little underscores in between the words. And I've got a website. You can also email me at charlene@theawakenedentrepreneur.ca, which we've established has many, many E's in it.
It's so true. The word entrepreneur, I don't even like, they make the word so difficult.
I know.
Entrepreneur, U-R-E-R. Yeah, it's always E's, always E's, always the E's. But thank you. Thank you for sharing the potency of your magic and your light. And I could just geek out with you all day about this stuff because it's just so fascinating. And I do find myself wanting to know more in your when I'm with you? Like, tell me more. Like, what does that mean? And what does that mean? And you make me want to become like prolific in keys. Like, you really do. Like, it's just like, feels like it's the thing. So I really do appreciate you sharing with everybody here today. Thank you so much for
being. Thank you so much. But I want to quit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fully received. And I want to do just a real quick little thank you to you and highlight to you, because I mean, this has been very lovely. Like, you really uplift and really highlight and feature people so well. But I want to give you a little bit of a shout out, because like, as you mentioned, we're kind of newly friends, you know, over the last couple of months, but already, like, what I can see in you is, and I was sharing this with our mutual connection, is there is such a level of embodiment with you that is really special and really rare. And so what I mean by that is that there's a lot of people who talk about these concepts, and spirituality and energy and that kind of thing can be a subject like anything else, but finding the people who really embody this, right? And what that feels like when I'm in your presence is such safety, like such respect, such reverence. And that is really a rare gift. And so I am in such appreciation of getting to know you and of the space that you hold. And I have no doubt that the people who come to you for the work that you do are in such good hands. And I'm so excited for what we might get to create together, because you are the real deal, my friend.
Thank you. And this comes on a day where I really, really need to take care of that. So,
perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I love getting all emotional at the end of a good podcast.
Oh, so good.
And just thank you. And yeah. I appreciate and I receive that. And I'm excited for those who connect in with you. And maybe, just maybe in the future, Charlene and I'll do something together. Maybe.
pretty
if
sure.
You, if you
sure
think that would be pretty cool, just put it in the comments or shout it out to us on social media.
Yeah, there's something
as an inspiration. I know. Yeah. So thank you, listeners, and I will tune in next week with another download for you all. Mm-hmm.